had so many projects to do. Early 2020, I was able to finish everything off before the summertime. And it was like, because we had 2 months off. At first, they were giving us like 2 weeks, only 2 weeks, only 2 weeks. So I took advantage of those 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. And I was able to finish off a lot of things. And alhamdulillah, I personally see that I took advantage of the pandemic.
Nice.
And unfortunately, other people have been laid off. Unfortunately, others have been forced to shut down their shops, therefore not being able to pay the rent of the shop and having to close altogether their shop. And you know, people went through different circumstances. Some people got richer, some people got poorer. Some people got the rich, they became poor. Some people were poor and they became rich. So, you know, yeah, it just played around. But it really goes back to this. How did you take advantage of it? Sometimes you have to start from zero, but take advantage of it. Yes. It's a chance.
And that shows the flexibility of all human beings.
Yeah.
You know, for those people who are resistant to change, they're going to find it pretty hard.
Yeah.
To alter along with the changes of the world. But when it comes to changes, this is something quite common. Life is all about change. Life changes you and changes everything around in the world. So you have to know how to get changes and how
there's one thing that stays the same.
Get adapted to changes.
The human being, although, you know, just want to point this out, that although, yeah, the environment changes, the way that he lives changes, تشابهت قلوبهم. There's always this mentality that stays the same. And I remember when the corona first came out, and I remember this happening, that science, those people who believed in science and hardcore believe in science, atheist scientists, they just say this.
Yes.
They were quiet. I didn't hear nothing. And I was quite surprised, actually.
Yeah.
Because I was expecting people to come out and say, go pray, go do your things and make fun of religious people. And I remember scientists just staying back, that this small virus has just derailed all our work. And that's something just to consider by itself.
True.
But even though that, they remain on their disbelief. They remain in their attitude against religious people and religious ideas and whatnot. And تشابهت قلوبهم, their hearts are one. Their hearts are the same. How did religion help you during this pandemic?
You know, brother Habib, when Corona hit us, hit the whole world, there was this kind of sense of, or the sense people had, I'm not going to say that this is a true sense, but this is a kind of feeling, first they experienced, a kind of a split or division between science and religion, all right? There were lots of people who were for religion, and they were like listening to the scholars of knowledge, and especially I'm talking about the doctors and surgeons and epidemiologists, you know, or virologists. They only listened to these guys, and they said you have to get rid of the other side of the story, and those who are religious, those who are like non-scientific, you have to just
keep them aside for now.
Yeah, keep them aside. All right. And stop listening to those people. But there was the other radical group.
Don't call me radical.
And those people said that you have to like get rid of these doctors change all the time.
Yeah.
They change their opinions all the time. Like you can see, for example, one article approving or proving one point, and later in another day,
disagree
another month, that's going to disagree with that. That's going to disapprove of that, you know, completely.
I'm more to the second group that you said, huh?
Or reject the whole idea.
I'm telling you right now, I'm like more the second group. So, you know.
No, I'm
not denying the doctors altogether, but I mean, personally, I think that they took the wrong steps. And some of them state that, yeah, we did take the wrong steps. The restrictions that they placed were sometimes not correct.
Yes, but I don't like the extremity.
I'm not that extreme.
I always go for the middle ground.
Yeah.
Myself, all right? I guess this statement by Imam Ali, Khairul Umur al-Sadaha, is one of the most profound statements, most profound statements you can find in the human history, all right? So some people are for science, some people are for religion, some people go
in the middle.
Yes, in the middle, and some people take it to very extreme end.
Left and right, yeah.
Yeah, all right. But I guess both of these, like, you can't deny human achievements. This is, science is human achievement. I know science or scientific works change all the time. But this is one of the good positive points of science, which we call verifiability.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So whatever is verifiable is something that you have to take willingly. All right? It's something quite positive. It's not negative. All right?
Let's take a break. Because, you know, I've been sick of Corona. And hopefully we could talk something more positive. We ended it in a positive right now.
Yeah,
but hopefully we can end it in a more positive. So please tune in again.
Your light and love, all I see. Nothing more I'd ever want to need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor. Grant me faith to be stronger.
And welcome back, brothers and sisters. Thank you guys for tuning in again. With you is your brother at your service, Habib, and brother Muhammad Jawad. How did religion help you during this pandemic?
You have to find a middle ground. You have to calm down, get off the high horses, all right, for a while, and see from a religious point of view. As a Muslim, I believe some of these beliefs that we have, all right, may calm us, may soothe us in times of trouble, in times of crises, in times of hardship.
Mm.
All right? Maybe the scientific statements can do that. And this is one of the psychological, not side effect, but psychological effect of religion and religious beliefs.
True.
And this is something that is quite positive, I guess, from religion. Because it acts like a psychologist. Some of these therapies that you go to, like the group therapy or what do you call it? Some psychologists, a special psychologist who try to let you lie down on their couch. Like they call
therapy.
It,
therapy.
Yeah, they call it couch therapy.
Mm.
All right? So you lie down and you let it out.
You just
let it out.
Yeah.
All right? And then you empty yourself.
Yeah.
There are these, like, outlets that when blocked, you get frustrated, you get repressed, you get this and that.
Angry, you get
angry, yeah. And you have to let it out sometime, all right? And I guess religion altogether can work that way too, all right? So it can somehow console people, puts them at ease to a degree, all right? Again, a word of caution is don't take it too far, all right? You have to rely on logic, rely on your intellect, rely on the human heritage, the human history that we have, all right? The tradition of both science and religion.
Take advantage of the development that we have.
Exactly. That's the point that I was trying to make.
Now, other than that, you know, there is this like thing that I call in Arabic, I put this on my WhatsApp status actually, Tawfiq Ijbari. There's like this saying that states, جلوس المرء عند عياله خير من الجلوس في مسجد هذا. The Prophet ﷺ states that sitting down, a man sitting down with his family is better than sitting down in this masjid, my masjid, my mosque.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it did open us a chance, you know, to sit down with our children, to have interact with them more. Other than that as well, the teachings of Islam, for example, the way how to, the anger, you know, family closeness, asking about relatives. You know, when this pandemic came, everyone was so busy with themselves that we forgot our family members, we forgot our relatives. Now, when this pandemic came, how's my uncle doing? How is my cousins, how are they doing? My grandparents, how are they doing? You go ahead and call, especially with, alhamdulillah, with the communication, you know, development that we have in this era, it really made it easy for us to connect again with our family members.
And the other question, just a parenthetical question to you, Brother Habib, is that what if we didn't have these telecommunication technology?
We would have been like the old times. We couldn't
communicate. Like the old time. And then, again, if you were under lockdown, under a lot of this COVID or restrictions, you know, medical restrictions, then would you think that we could have, like, passed it easily, passed this test easily?
We're not used to it. That's the thing.
The thing is, under lockdown, under restrictions, when you have all of this cyberspace technology, all right, you could easily communicate
with people. You're living in society.
Exactly. It's like that, and you're not going to get that frustrated. But if you don't have any kind of, like, cell phones, smartphones, and internet, or, I don't know, all of these virtual networks,
I would be busy with my cows and goats and sheep.
If you didn't have them?
Yeah, they don't have them.
If you lived in an apartment?
No, if you lived in an apartment, like, in the, like, you have to differentiate between the era that we're living in. Like how I said, we're used to telephones, we're used to smartphones, we're used to the internet, we're used to this kind of communication. Now, if you take it away right away, like, instantly take it away, and then you want us to...
to the Stone Age?
Yeah, we're not going to do it. We're not going to make it out. We know we got so used to it, we got so attached to it, it's going to be very difficult for us. Now, on the other hand, people of the old times...
To be honest with you, sometimes I take a leave of 1 month from everything. I go to a jungle or something.
That's nice.
It's very nice.
It's relaxing.
And I just forget about all the communications.
It's relaxing. I try to do
it. I have to do it. I guess it's...
I try to do it, but I couldn't. So, yeah, it's true. You know, disconnecting from social media, disconnecting from this kind of communication, I think it's going to be... It needs time. It needs time.
I see.
And I don't think it's going to happen to anyone now because we got so attached to it.
And do you think we're going to get back to normal after this pandemic?
Corona?
Yes.
I think normal is going to be unnormal. Because I'm just trying to think about it. All right, we're going to go back to class. We're going to go back to school without our masks. You know, we got used to it. We got this norm. It's going to take us, like, I think, like 6 months to get used to what we were used to before the pandemic.
And we're going to have a feast, I guess, without the mask.
Yeah, but I think, but I don't know, there's this, like, theories out there. I don't know how sure, how right or correct they are. That we might 10 years stay in this status. We have to stay away from each other until human beings get used to this virus. I don't know. This is things that I've heard. I'm not sure about.
And what if other variants come to the arena and take humanity, like, by surprise?
Man, we have Allah. Allah ba'in.
Yes, we have to rely and God. Trust God. Yeah.
Inshallah. Inshallah ta'ala. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. I hope you guys remain safe, protected. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep your loved ones as well safe,
inshallah,
and protected,
inshallah,
and in good health and well-being.
And inshallah, lift up this pandemic.
Yeah, inshallah
for good.
For good and, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
Because it happens every century anyway. Brothers and sisters, I hope you guys enjoy the show. From me and brother Muhammad Jawad and brother Habib, we're signing off from Youth Station Broadcasting, only on Arab English Radio Station. You could download the show from parstoday.com. And now until another show, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace out.
Salam, and today on the start of the morning month of Muharram, we start the day by pondering upon a wise saying from the immortal martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace upon him. Whoever uses symbolism in religious matters will always remain in confusion, deviated as he stumbles off the right path, sticking to deviation wherever he goes, straying off the right course, and saying bad and worthless things.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Hosseiniya. To His Path from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in.
Dr. Fakh Rohani.
In the beginning, I would like to express my condolences on the coming of the month Muharram. In this episode, so we are going to be concerned with a selection of Imam al-Hussein's sermons, letters, and discussions. And from these discourses of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, we are going to learn more about his movement and the rationale behind his epoch-making movement that resulted in saving the Islamic religion. It must be indicated that when the news of the death of Muawiyah reached Medina, and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was suggested to, and when Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was suggested to recognize Yazid ibn Muawiyah, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, in a conversation with Marwan ibn al-Hakam, who was a notable pro-Umayyad figure in Medina, mentioned to him that he wouldn't do this because Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, in a dialogue, in a conversation with Marwan ibn al-Hakam, who was a notable pro-Umayyad figure in Medina, mentioned to him that he had a piece of hadith, prophetic hadith, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that the Umayyads were not allowed to capture the post of caliphate and rulership of Muslims. It goes in this way. I've heard from my grandfather, the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to remark, caliphate is forbidden to the descendants of Abi Sufyan. So when you notice Muawiyah having ascended my minbar, tear his abdomen, that is, kill him. However, the inhabitants of Medina have noticed him on the minbar, but they never killed him. In consequence, Allah has afflicted them with Yazid the profligate. This is a good indication that it was indeed a recommendation earlier made by the Prophet Muhammad, in that the Umayyads, that is the descendants of Abu Sufyan, were not allowed to assume any high post of rulership over there. Why? Because they were staunch enemies of the Islamic religion. Please note carefully that in the last months of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially on the day of Ghadir Khum, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam
nominated and indicated that Imam Ali alayhi salam was his immediate successor. However, as we know, due to some unpleasant circumstances that were created in Medina, some people came and usurped the right of rulership from Imam Ali. As a result, we find that rulership was diverted from Imam Ali alayhi salam to Muawiyah, and the following unpleasant consequences and took place in the early history of Islam.
Artists in an Egyptian village work hard to keep alive the ancient tradition of making papyrus paper despite a tourist downturn amid the coronavirus pandemic. The village of Keramis in northeastern Cairo is the largest hub of papyrus production in the country. Many of the residents of the village are involved in farming, processing, and decorating papyrus planted in 25 farms near the village. The Pharaonic era tradition includes cutting strips from the plant, pressing them together, and drying them to form a sheet. The artists then decorate the papyrus to create beautiful products for tourists. However, their industry has been affected by the coronavirus pandemic, forcing the artists to use more creativity.
We are trying to think out of the box to keep this profession alive. We make products out of papyrus paper, like wallets, notebooks, drawing sketches, new products, so we can keep going.
The artists have also launched online stores to sell their new products. Papyrus producers say they have lost nearly 80% of their income in the last 2 years. However, they say they will never stop making papyrus and will make every effort to keep the ancient cultural tradition alive. Prehistoric cave paintings found in Spain prove that Neanderthals were the first artists on Earth. A new study says red markings discovered in three caves near Malaga did not occur naturally. They were made by Neanderthals nearly 65,000 years ago. That's when modern humans did not inhabit the continent yet. The findings suggest that the pigments were applied at different times, sometimes more than 10,000 years apart. This shows that Neanderthals returned to the site over time to make symbolic markings.
I believe that this art made by the Neanderthals will be also found in other caves around the world. This time figurative art, which we have not paid attention to, may be precisely the oldest art in the world. So this place in Spain is one of the caves with the oldest art in the world.
Researchers say the pigments are yet another evidence that the intellectual capabilities of Neanderthals have been underestimated. Neanderthals went extinct about 40,000 years ago.
Egypt's forgotten art of Batik is undergoing a revival thanks to a designer who has been working hard to bring the ancient cloth decorating technique to life. Working tirelessly in a small workshop in Old Cairo, Samer Hassanian has enhanced the art of Batik over the years. Samer is one of the few designers in Egypt to use the traditional method to design on fabrics. The art consists of patterns created by applying melted wax onto cloth before dipping it in dye or painting over it with a brush. the fabric is put into boiling water in order to melt the wax. The ancient Egyptians used the batik fabric mostly to wrap the coffins and mummies. However, the difficulty of mastering the art caused its disappearance.
Batik has disappeared in Egypt because no one shared their skill. As a teacher, I find that it is very important to provide as much training as I can because people realize how difficult it is when they start learning the techniques.
Samar has now skillful artists in her workshop who design colorful fabric using the technique. Samar says her goal is to produce unique designs that are particularly identified as to Egyptian and represent the country's rich cultural heritage.
You can find tin boxes in every house, with people often throwing them away after consuming what they had inside. But an old lady in Belgium has turned it into an obsession for years to fill her home with these fascinating containers. 83-year-old Madame Dardenne has gathered around 60,000 vintage tin boxes in a span of 30 years. The empty containers of all sizes now occupy four other houses. They once used to hold all kinds of goods, ranging from coffee, biscuits, tobacco, tea and soap to shoe polish, are now piled high all over the building that belongs to Dardenne. Some of these boxes, according to her, come from as far as India and Japan. Dardenne says it all started with a chocolate box that was given to her with a painting of a blonde girl in a blue hat.
I consider this box to be the first of my collection. It is a box of Belgian Côte d'Or chocolates that a relative of my husband gave me, believing that I was interested in boxes.
She sees the boxes as history books with decorations and writings on them describing major events and reflecting contemporary culture. The collection is the largest in the world, listed by the Guinness Book of Records. Located in eastern Belgium, the museum can be visited by appointment. Humans have damaged the environment perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Juan Carlos Rodriguez and his wife run a sloth rescue center in the lush outskirts of the Venezuelan capital, Caracas. They have so far saved over 45 sloths. The couple decided to start helping the furry mammals last year after running into a sloth that had been badly injured. They saved him and called him Chewie, after a character in the popular Star Wars franchise. Juan and his wife are now alone in their life-saving journey. Are not alone in their life-saving journey, as their vet friends also help them with services and donations. The coronavirus pandemic has disrupted lives all around the world, but it's important to try to stay fit for humans and animals alike. Penguins in an open zoo in Thailand have been keeping their daily routines, although no visitors are allowed due to COVID-19 restrictions. They are regularly taken out of their air-conditioned enclosure so they can enjoy a walk or swim. The 41 flightless birds consume nearly 25 kilograms of fresh fish each day. The cute animals at the zoo are aged from 1 month to 18 years old.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
South Korean medical workers manning drive-through coronavirus testing centers have a new way to cool off and rest amid hot summer days: recovery buses. The medical workers are now able to enjoy their breaks at these buses, which are equipped with air conditioning, cold water, and snacks. The workers are allowed to take off their protective suits that trap heat and create an environment difficult to tolerate. Some of the buses also have shower booths and bunk beds to help the medical workers deal with their hard work. They say the buses are refreshing.
I almost feel like I'm stuck in a heat dome, like in a car with the air conditioner off in the middle of summer. It's so hot that it's even hard to breathe. But when I come here during the break time and rest in a much cooler and more pleasant environment like an igloo, I can recharge and work cheerfully in the afternoon.
These buses were first designed and used as resting places for Korean police officers and firefighters. Now, 22 of them are deployed to testing centers across the country. The government is considering deploying more recovery buses amid rising temperature and a new wave of coronavirus infections.
An aquarium in the French capital, Paris, is celebrating the birth of a baby black-tip shark. The female shark is 55 centimeters long and weighs 560 grams. She's currently quarantined in a small pond so she wouldn't come under attack by adult sharks. Officials at the aquarium say she'll be ready to swim amongst other sharks in 3 to 4 months. She was born last week at the aquarium, an event the caretakers say is very rare.
It's a rare event for us, which hadn't happened here for the past 5 years. The birth is quite rare in aquariums and in captivity in general. In fact, there are often embryos that won't survive, or they're sometimes stillborn. That's what makes it a rare event, which also occurs at night. We had the chance to observe it during the day, which allowed us to intervene very quickly, and we're able to recover the little one.
The International Union for the Conservation of Nature has designated black-tip sharks as a vulnerable species. It's particularly poached in some countries for their distinctive fins. The marvelous creatures have a torpedo-shaped body and often spin out of water while eating. They have specialized cells in their snouts that detect the electric current of nearby prey.
A Turkish farmer hails the miraculous survival of two baby goats from deadly wildfires. Sergen Bayat said seeing his livestock threatened by flames was the most difficult moment in his life. Bayat said although he lost 8 of his animals in the fire, he found new life after the survival of a newborn goat. He said the mother of the kid had been killed in a wildfire. Bayat called it a miracle. But there was also another baby goat.
We found another goat amidst the wildfire. She has a baby. There you go. Miracle number 2.
Bayat says although his farm was severely damaged, he's now over the moon at the survival of the baby goats. The massive forest fire in southern Turkey broke out on Wednesday, fueled by strong winds. Wildfires are common in southern Turkey in the summer, but local authorities say the latest fires have covered a much bigger area.
Cats are notoriously volatile animals, as we all know. One moment they are purring for your attention, and the next they can't stand being touched. Now, a Canadian firm has come up with an app that can help you better understand your feline friends. The app is called Tabby and works with artificial intelligence. The AI's algorithm was trained at a clinic in the city of Calgary. The developers of Tabby hope their product can be useful for novice cat owners and vets alike. The app can also help monitor the health of cats. Tabby's developer explains how the app functions.
It uses artificial intelligence, so specifically machine learning, and it's coupled with the feline grimace scale. And what the feline grimace scale is, it's a way for humans to be able to determine if a cat is in pain or not based on the ear positioning, the eye positioning, the muzzle, whiskers, things like that. And so we were able to train a machine using machine learning and a series of images to be able to make that determination. So if you're somebody who has a cat but you don't have that training, you can just use the app, and it can help you determine this, how your cat is doing.
Sounds very useful. The Tabli is not perfect, though, and runs into problems when trying to decipher the mood of black cats. Despite the hiccups, the developers say the program will get better at doing its task as its artificial intelligence develops through practice. Humans have damaged the environment, perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Known in Cyprus as Birdman, 28-year-old Konstantinos Antonio is a wildlife veterinarian. Every year, he saves hundreds of sick or wounded wild birds. The animals brought to him are usually found by regular people. Konstantinos says climate change has made the task of assisting birds more urgent as their survival becomes harder and harder. The Cypriot environmentalists usually freeze the animals after treatment in the presence of other people in order to raise awareness about the issue. A vertical forest has transformed the Chinese megacity of Chengdu into a concrete jungle, making the lives of the residents greener. Each unit at the 8-tower complex has a balcony with around 20 types of luxuriant plants and greenery. The green space filters air and noise pollution while creating a spectacular view. The project in the southwestern city was completed in 2018, and all of the 826 apartments were sold out at the time.
I think it's quite good. The air quality is pretty good and much better than my old houses. The air is good when you wake up in the morning, and the green trees are good for us elderly people. They are good for our eyes.
Besides all the benefits, the apartments have a major problem. They have been overrun by plants and invaded by mosquitoes. The issue has forced some of the occupants to move out. Other cities around the world, such as New York and Copenhagen, have also launched similar green housing projects.
The best visited multimedia exhibit in the world known as Van Gogh Live. The experience has opened in Munich after being postponed a number of times due to COVID-19.
Van Gogh is einfach der berühmteste.
Van Gogh is just the most famous artist in the world. He is also a prototype artist. He is the last artist who then tragically dies at the end. His life story was just fascinating, and that's why he is Van Gogh. And of course, his artworks are fascinating.
Featuring some of Van Gogh's best-known works, the exhibition is not only a feast for the eyes, but the senses with music and smells to accompany the colorful projections. The exhibit is supposed to smell like the countryside because of where Van Gogh lived. However, the organizers say visitors cannot really experience the feeling due to wearing masks. Van Gogh Alive, the experience was first presented in Singapore in 2011. Since then, the multimedia exhibit has been seen in 70 cities and has attracted some 6 million visitors.
Truth and same is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all around the world, Salaamu Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio on special days of the month of Muharram. Accept our condolences on these days. Due to the month of Muharram, we want to look at the way of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammad wa al Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammad wa al Muhammad.
Today, Tuesday, is the 1st of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As this series of today's special, we'll listen to a short commentary of some part of Ziyarat Ashura.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا خيرة الله وابن خيرته السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Abdullah. Peace be upon you, O son of the Messenger of Allah. Peace be upon you, O son of the Commander of the Faithful and the son of the leader of the inheritors of the Prophet. Peace be upon you, O son of Fatima, the leader of the women of the entire universe. Peace be upon you, O the one who was killed and whose blood was not yet been avenged and whose avenging is in the hands of Allah. And peace be upon you, the son of the one who was killed and whose blood has not yet been avenged. And peace be upon you, O the one who was alone, an individual.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day, from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
O son of the Commander of the Faithful, to reveal how brilliant is the origin of Imam al-Hussein, verses 19 and 20 of Surah al-Rahman come to mind. He merged the two seas, meeting each other. There is a barrier between them which they do not overstep. Chapter 55, verses 19 and 20. Imam al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, Ali and Fatima are two deep seas of knowledge, none of who oversteps the other. From them emerge the pearl and the coral, who are al-Hassan and al-Hussein. Peace be upon them.
Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein.
On today's special, we'll look at the path of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. On reaching Karbala, a point where they have been forced to discontinue their journey and to disembarked on the orders of Ibn Ziyad, Imam stood up to address his companions. In that sermon, he declares that life under tyranny is not worthy of men unless the people rise in an attempt to restore the higher values. Don't you see that what is true and right is not acted upon, and what is false and wrong is not forbidden? In such a situation, the man of faith yearns for the meeting with his Lord. Indeed, in such conditions, to me, death is happiness, and life under the yoke of tyrants is a disgrace.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the path of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam indicated his movement, the basic philosophy of his movement, in a number of ways, several times. However, we find that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam expressed it quite clearly in his testament that he wrote and addressed it to his youngest brother Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. In it, he indicated that إنما تخرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي. I've started this movement in order to come up with a reform in the community of my grandfather, that is, in the community of the Prophet of in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he indicated, أريد أن أمر بالمعروف وأنهى عن المنكر. I intended to invite people to doing good and to prohibit them from committing the detestable. Now we find that, inviting people to do good and prohibiting them from doing the detestable can be generalized, and the scope of these two notions should be broadened. These notions, the notion of doing good and detesting committing the forbidden, shouldn't be interpreted in individual terms, to individual tasks. Rather, doing good can be both individual and social, and committing the detestable may also be both individual and social. So we find that those people who feel a kind of responsibility and a kind of mission in order to guide the people, to the right path, they would simply be individually those, among those people who invite all, who invite everybody to doing good. But at the same time, they themselves practice whatever they preach. And at the same time, we find that this type of, inviting people to doing good must be changed into a common culture, a shared culture. It means that everybody, one by one, all individuals in all the human communities should feel a kind of responsibility toward inviting people to doing good and prohibiting them from committing the detestable based on Islamic religious standards.
Imam Hussein's patience. Of course, this is easier said than done. What Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam did was an extraordinary feat. That is to say, the dimensions of His actions are far more than what we estimate. We usually ignore aspects and details. Once, I spoke about Imam al-Hussein's patience. His patience was not limited to enduring thirst or seeing his companions being killed. These things are relatively easy to tolerate. The kind of patience that is difficult to practice is to listen to influential, aware, and respectable people who keep creating doubts and telling you that what you are doing is dangerous and wrong. Who did those things? People like Abdullah Zubair and Abdullah Abbas. A person who decides to stand up against such statements, such temptations, such doubts, and such efforts to bend Sharia is not dissuaded from continuing his path. Such a person is the one who can give rise to such a great transformation.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein.
Lessons of Muharram.
Lessons from Karbala. Don't accept humiliation. In one of his speeches, Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, said that the authorities in Kufa had given him only two options, humiliations or death. He carried on saying, and we do not accept humiliation. A tradition reported by Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, records that other than not accepting humiliation, Almighty Allah has given to believers a choice in all matters.
Now, the hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, ما جفت الدموع إلا لقسوة القلوب. Sometimes we find it so hard to cry. I'm seeing, for example, a tragedy, a child dying on TV or in real life. Or for example, I hear a very sad story, or I'm worshipping Allah and I see others are crying, shedding tears, but I can't. I hear the tragedy of Imam Hussein, everyone's crying, I cannot cry. The Imam says, ما جفت الدموع إلا لقسوة القلوب. He says, when you find it that you can't cry, one main reason may be because you have a hard heart. It's like stone. And when your heart is hard, nothing will penetrate it. If your heart wants to be affected, it has to be soft. Words, stories affect it. It has to penetrate your heart. But when your heart is like stone, nothing will penetrate it, correct? The words will leave. I may admonish you. I may tell you some stories. I may try, for example, to move you, emotionally change you, but nothing affects you because your heart is like what? It's like stone. So he says, ما جفت الدموع إلا لقسوة القلوب. When the hearts harden, we find it difficult to cry. And then the question comes here, so why is my heart hard? The Imam says, you can't cry because your heart is hard. So why is my heart hard? The Imam then says, وما قست القلوب إلا لكثرة الذنوب. One main reason why some of us have a hard heart is because of the excess amount of sins that we perform. When we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left and right, we don't care about what's haram, what's halal, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gradually my heart will harden until it becomes like stone.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Hussein wa ala
Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.